Amen, amen. So I want to thank Pastor Ryman and the church for giving me the opportunity to do this. I don't take it lightly to get behind this pulpit. I don't. So, I mean, we joke and kid around in church all the time, but this is serious. And I take it serious, and I hope you guys know that.
Amen.
And it's hard following up songs like that. And it's all about the blood.
Amen.
And one thing I hate doing is stuffing my face before I come and get the opportunity to do this.
Amen.
And I didn't know I'd have the opportunity to do it, and I did go out and stuff my face. And it makes it miserable up here sometimes. So, but that's what fighting the flesh is about, right? Amen. So you guys heard a little bit on this phone about this young lady and her child and what they're going through. And I want you guys to continue to pray for the street preachers and the ministries that are going here and Seven Pillars, because for you guys get the opportunity to hear it once in a blue moon or maybe on Sundays when you, man, we deal with these people. And you asked Brother Joe, Eric, and Alex, and some other guys, and Brother Rick, man, we deal with this stuff live. Faith. These are human beings, and it's a spirit. And, you know, when I first started coming to church, first got saved, I never knew what the spiritual battle was about until you start actually fighting these things. And now you get to the point when you're in the Word of God and you're praying and you're trying to do right. When these people approach you, you can feel it.
That's right.
You can feel it, man. When you're out there street preaching with these guys, you know, especially at night, during the day isn't like that. But at night, some of them spirits that, you know, so it's got to be done. It's got to be done. And I believe in what you guys do. And these that have this spirit, and they come to Seven Pillars, and this lady here, it's an epidemic.
Man.
In Sussex County alone, there was one overdose for every hour that passed by during a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. Now think of that, 24 hours, three nights in a row, for every hour there was an overdose called in. Isn't that's just Sussex County. That's not counting Kent or Newcastle. That's not counting the other states. It's bad. It's an epidemic, and it's killing our young.
Right.
And it's going to take a lot of people like us to get out there and spread the word and let them know that the Lord, you know, wants to do something in their life. And if it wasn't for that blood, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I would have never had a chance. The world would have chewed me up and spit me out. And if it wasn't for his precious blood. So I'm going to preach on a couple things tonight, and it's going to be scripture we're all familiar with. And I use this in teaching over in Seven Pillars, and it's been on my heart for a while to preach it. And I actually didn't plan on preaching it here. Brother Tim said when I get a chance and opportunity, he wants me to come over there and preach to his Sunday night crowd. And I actually wanted to do this for his Sunday night crowd, but Josh was messing with me saying that, you know, tonight we should preach, and I think the Lord wants me to do it, so that's what I'm going to do. It wasn't planned, it's just this is what I think the Lord wants you to do. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, again, it's going to be familiar scripture, and what I'm going to try to do is have you guys look at it in a different way, and please excuse me if I chase rabbits a little bit. I tend to talk a little bit, and I'm going to try to keep focused and keep mindful of the time and make sure that I don't ramble. And so if I do, forgive me. It's just what I do. You know, that's right. Under 8 hours, I promise. Maybe three. So in chapter 17, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shiloh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shiloh and Azekah in Ephesidemdim." So forgive me, I'm not an English teacher, and I'm going to do the best I can. Hey, if you guys are mad with it, then take it up with the Lord, because he chose me to do this, and I believe that. So you got to take it up with him, not me.
Amen.
And it says in verse 2, it says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the other side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them." And so if we could picture this for a minute, you know, They're on one hillside, and Philistines are on the other, and you got Israel and Philistines. It's like when you were younger, who has ever had a snowball fight? Amen. And what you do is you clear the entire center of the yard. Or at least that's what we did. And that all that snow in the middle of the yard turned into two hills. And on one side was them, the enemy, and on the other side was me. And what it did is it created a valley, right? And you always knew nobody goes in the valley. You'd be an idiot to go in the valley, especially if you get hit with a snowball in the ear. Everybody knows snowball fight's over. He just got hit in the ear, and that's it. You go in crying because it hurts. Yeah, man, I know. I got hit in the ear all the time. And verse 4 says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." So 6 cubits, if you look it up and study that, that's between 9'6" and 11 foot tall. It's somewhere in there. So if you would picture somebody, maybe like Earl, stand up for a minute and come to the front. Zane, come over here. Stand up in front. And just stand there right there. Just look cool for me. Yeah. Zane, I want you to stand right here. So I just want you guys to get a good picture of this. So, giant.
Ugly giant.
Yeah. He fits the bill, buddy. That's why I picked him. Normal. Amen. All right, you guys can sit down. Right? Almost double the size. So this guy here who's coming out from among them, he's a big old idiot. I mean, big. Right? It said, in verse 5, it says, "And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass." It's 57 kilograms or 126 pounds. There's people in here who don't weigh 126 pounds. And this is what this brother was wearing. I could not wear that all day long. Just not going to happen. 120 some pounds. I got enough pounds I'm trying to get rid of. And it's hard enough carrying this around. And I'm ready to get rid of it.
Amen.
And verse 6, it says, "And he had graves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him." That's 6.8 kilograms, about 151 pounds. Can you imagine that? Now, who here would be able to pick that up, let alone throw that thing, besides Earl, because we know that he does it all the time? 151 pounds. I mean, that's something to think about. So this is what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you an idea of the guy who is weighing on this stuff. So when I looked up the weights of these things, and I started, because at first I didn't know what shekels. I went, what are that weigh? Who knows? You know, I wasn't smart enough to figure that out. So I had to look this up. And when it said that it was the spear weighed 600 shekels, you got shekels? Never even heard of them. So what I did is I looked it up, and it said 151 pounds. Like, good night. So you got to be a beastly man to be able to wear 126 pounds, be 9'6" to 11 foot, and have a spear like a weaver's beam that's 151 pounds. It doesn't really say whether the entire spear weighed that now, did it?
No,
not what I read. It was talking about just the head of this thing. So I'd be dragging this thing on the ground. Come on, Ken. We're going to do something tonight, buddy. Look at this thing. You know, you'd be trying to break it off and melt it down, do something different with it. 151 pounds. I'm like, this guy's wasting all the metal in town. So in verse 8, it says, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Here's where the plot thickens. So I just gave you guys an idea of what they're looking at. They're looking across this mountain, and now you see the guy who's making his way down. And now he's yelling out to him. And now he's wanting to fight. So things just got real here. So not only is this giant coming out and these guys know what this stuff weighs, you know? Back then, they know what a shekel is. Guys like us nowadays, I don't know what a shekel is. So they see this guy coming down in this valley where there's nothing there, And now he's yelling out to them saying, whoever the best of you are, come on out here and we'll fight. And if I win, you're my servant. But if you win, fair deal, right? Then we'll be your servants. Well, if you read on and you start looking into this, and for time's sake, we're not, because there's three other places I want to go, and I ramble a lot, so I'm going to save you the time and effort. They don't want to go down there. You know what happens? What happens is their fear starts outweighing their faith. And they decide, I'm not going to do it. It won't be me. We're saying him. Or maybe him, but I'm not going down there.
Yeah.
There's no way in the world I'll ever be able to hit this guy, let alone defeat him. There's no way. I don't believe I can. He's too big to hit, right? So let's read on and skip down to, say, verse 26. Jump there just as good as next. It says, and David spake unto the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So David, mind you, a guy who has fought some animals and done a really good job, and there's some praise and some victory for him in this. And you can read that in the chapter, and you'll see that this young man had very little fear. But what he had was a lot of faith. And what he couldn't understand is the army of the living God is standing on the mountainside and they're scared of this man.
Right.
And all he's doing is defying them. And he's being really rude and ignorant, and it's not nice. And he cannot believe what he's hearing and seeing. And he's saying, well, what's going to happen? If somebody goes down there, this guy's, he's down there mouthing us and acting like an idiot. What happens if we go down there? Because somebody's got to do it.
Amen.
That's what he believes. Somebody's got to do it, right? Hey, there's a lot of times where I get, and man, this happens to me regularly, where I catch fear over some things. Hey, there's times where these guys here know. There's some people out there on that street. I've been out there with them. And I catch some fear. You know what happens? My fear starts outweighing my faith.
Amen.
Instead of just having a little bit more faith in God, what happens is that I get so fearful that something that they or man will do, I forget about what the power of God's got for me. If you're just being faithful and doing what you're supposed to do. And it says, verse 27, it says, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he had spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou hither? And from whence did thou leavest those few sheep in the wilderness? I remember he was supposed to be minding the sheep out there, but he's catching wind of the battle, and he's wondering what's going on and why there's a holdup. And he coming down, and it says, I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of the heart. Now, this is older brother saying, hey, man, you're going to get yourself killed, man. Why don't you just hush up? You need to go on back out in the field and tend them sheep, right? It says, I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of the heart, and thou art come down that thou might seest the battle. You just being nosy, David. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? David said there's a cause.
Amen.
Right? There's a reason. And the time is now.
Amen.
You can't keep waiting. And you can't keep tarrying on. The time is now. What happens is a lot of times we just see, we're just waiting. He's going to do it. Oh, I know Josh will do it. Ken's going to do it. I know Ken's going to do it. So I'll just sit here where it's safe. Because I'm scared to go out there. I am. Somebody's eventually got to do it. But I can outweigh all y'all. Believe me, look, I can sit here longer than any one of y'all. Right? And that's what a lot of them are thinking. Somebody going to do it, but ain't going to be me.
Yeah, amen.
What makes us get to the point where we think it shouldn't be us?
Amen.
I have really never met a Christian that says, I have had orders to do nothing.
Amen.
I've even thought that for a time when I'm praying, Lord, where do you want me at? Where do I fit? Maybe God wants me to do nothing. No. God wants you to be patient. You're going to wait for orders. But while you're waiting for us, there's work to be done.
Amen.
There's work to be done all over the place, right?
Right?
You're supposed to be a witness from day one. That's something I wish I got from day one of being saved, is that my job was to be a witness from Christ from day one.
Amen.
What you do past that is wait for God to give you orders. But you have to be a witness. Your life has to show Christ all the time from day one.
Amen.
From day one. I wish I would have got that 10 years ago. Right? And it says, let's move down to verse 32. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a young, and he a man of war from his youth. Here's the king saying, hey, man, there ain't no way in the world you're going to go. That would be like one of these youngins here saying they're going to go against one of us adults. It's not that they might not put up a good fight. It's just that the experience. Say, I don't know about you guys, but before I got saved, there was a wicked life back there. I try not to ever glorify it or talk about it because it makes me ashamed. We were playing a game the other night, and there's something come up, and I was like, ah, not me. I don't know what they were talking about. Remember, they were trying to use key words. Joe knows what I'm talking about. I was like, so why should I know what that word meant? So anyway, that's an inside joke. Y'all don't know about that. There was a past, right? And because of that experience, I have met with people that you guys would never believe I actually encountered and fought with. And when we had to fight, it wasn't just to see who won. It was to see who was going to survive.
Amen.
We fought for a whole different reason. We fought to live and to take over something. We weren't leaving there unless somebody was done. They were going somewhere else, to the hospital, or because that's just how it was where we were, the neighborhoods we were. They're still killing people in our old neighborhood. Still. I think it's insane. But this Philistine, he didn't fight to see who was going to get up and say, hey, man, you got me this time.
Right.
No, he's going to fight to the death.
Amen.
And then when he was dead, he wanted to take over. Now it's ours. This whole property, all this, that's ours now. See, we done won, now it's ours. So it was a different type of fight, right? And what he's saying, Saul's saying, son, you're too young. You have no idea, man. This guy's going to kill you. He's not going to beat you up and say, all right, I got this one. Maybe next one you grow up a little bit and you come back. Son, you're going to die. Verse 34 says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came out a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. So David's trying to tell him, hey, I got some more experience. I got more experience than what you think. With the power of God and with my faith, I'm not worried about going out there.
Amen.
Win or lose. That's not what I'm going out there for. It's not for win or for lose.
Amen.
It's for standing our ground.
Amen.
Standing for what we believe. Not letting them come in here and take over this church. See, if somebody comes through that door and they're big and ugly and they tell you this is what we're going to do, whether you like it or not, I'm just wondering how many would stand.
Amen.
Or how many would just go with the flow.
Right.
I would rather just sit and stay here and let them take over. Because that's what most of them were saying when they didn't have enough faith in God to do anything about it. They were saying that we're okay with, hey, maybe we're loose and they might be good with us. They might be just good to us. Might not be as bad as we think. Because what happens is when you don't stand, you don't go out and face a giant, well, guess what happens? You're saying that that's okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. So every time somebody is going against God, his word, his work, and going against everything that we believe, why we believe, and how we believe it, and you don't open your mouth,
amen,
you're saying it's okay. That's what you're saying.
That's right, brother.
It's okay. Maybe it won't be so bad if we let them come in and take over.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have more numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we join the Philistines.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Amen.
And you know what David said? David said, I'd rather die before it happens.
Amen.
I got more faith in God that even if I die, what it's going to do is it's going to give them people hope, experience, and strength enough to come down here and fight and die with us. Eventually, God's going to step in and do something.
Amen.
Might not be for my life, But it'd be for the other guys that stand up, finally get some knees under them, because somebody's got to stand up and do it.
Amen. Yeah.
Somebody's got to do it. And as long as our fear outweighs our faith, then guess what? You're going to lose the battle every time.
Right.
You're going to lose the battle every time. We, as a nation, if you look back into the First World War and the Second World War, man, there was very little fear. And you know what most of them believed? They believed, we got this book. We're a nation of Christians. There's no way that they're going to win. There's no way. And hey, I might die, but we're going to win the war.
Amen.
And I trust God, and God's going to deliver us from this evil. And that's where David was, right? David said, I'm going to stand against the giant, and my fear ain't going to outweigh my faith. Go to Daniel. Like I said, we're going to just visit a little bit of familiar scripture here. And hopefully it helps you. If it don't, then you're stuck with me for a little bit. That's just the way that is. Chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6. We're getting to a point where we're raising a nation of soft people.
Amen.
That are being brainwashed into going with the flow.
That's right.
They're being brainwashed into saying that it's all okay.
Yeah.
That no matter what, it's all okay. Yep. Eventually, we have to be smart enough as Christians and people to say, no, it's not right.
That's right. Amen.
And we can't let it keep going on like this.
Amen.
Here's the thing. Our job is to build up the body of Christ, which is the church.
Amen.
Everybody agree with that, right? If we just go with the flow and don't be a witness and don't stand up for what's right, what we believe in and why we believe it, will that grow? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Pastor talks about it all the time. When this nation was first born, and I use the word born because that's what I like. I believe that this nation was born. It was born of free-willed, free-spirited Christians that wanted to come here and worship God the way they wanted to worship God. And what they did, they plagued this land. That's a good word to use, right? They plagued this land with what they believed and why they believed it. What we're doing is we're standing by allowing them, and I say them because I'm not going to choose the different groups that I'm thinking of right now. Use your imagination. But what they're doing is they're trying to push us out.
That's right.
And you know how they're doing it? They make you afraid.
Yeah.
By brainwashing you. With all the news and all the movies and all that's what they're doing.
Amen.
And they're doing a really good job of it.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Yep.
And I could be wrong, and you could leave here and not agree, and that's fine. Your opinion is your opinion, mine's mine, but they want you scared.
That's right.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
They want you scared. They don't want you to carry this book around. Have you ever seen people react when you carry this somewhere? Have you ever seen that? Isn't that crazy? If you have never tried that,
amen,
just walk through the mall with it,
yeah,
and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Go into a restaurant with it. I stopped doing that because I keep leaving it. So I was talking to Joe about it. I'm like, man, I done left another Bible. Hope I didn't lose that. But anyway, I got a problem with forgetting things. So as long as you're not me, you should be okay. But take it in the mall. Take it to places and see what they do. You'd be surprised how people react to it.
Amen.
They even stare at it.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, man, it's crazy. But they don't want you to carry it.
That's right.
They don't want you to be a witness. Because as long as they could keep your mouth shut, you couldn't spread the plague.
That's right?
Right? Well, I got news for you. It's your job to spread it. Amen. Chapter 6, Book of Daniel. Let me try to stay on track here. Because I might not. I'm going to a whole different thing. So, in the book of Daniel here, we know, again, familiar scripture. Daniel is a man who has found favor with the king. He has gotten to a point where he has become what they call like a governor. And people are jealous of him. Because why? Because he's being honest. And he's doing the right thing. And we're going to read in this scripture, and we're going to find out some things about these people here. In verse, in chapter one, chapter 6, verse 1 says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. So Daniel found favor, he becomes first, and they say princes, and they use the word like presidents, but picture mayors, governors, things like that. So that would be terminology that you could probably understand. So they're in charge of this. Doesn't matter what the name is, it's the same job. So they have to collect taxes, make sure that the laws are being followed. These are jobs that they have to do. But it says, Daniel was first, that the prince might be give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was with him. See here, you have a man that you're going to follow. Find out here, wasn't right with God, didn't know God, right? You guys agree with that? And he found favor with Daniel. Why? Because he had a good spirit about him. You could reach lost people by the way you live and the way you act. Amen. Right? Amen. There is times over and over again, my wife would tell you, that I want to open my mouth so bad to neighbors, to coworkers, but you know you can't. You know you can't. Why can't you? Because it'll come back to haunt you. And you never get the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. Right? So if you just check your pride for a minute, put it in your back pocket, and you have an opportunity to do something. And it says, and Daniel was preferred above the presidents and prince, that an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the president and prince sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Amen. And people shouldn't find none with you. When you are wrong about something, you need to promptly admit it and get it right. Amen. That's my suggestion. It was a suggestion that was given to me not only for spiritual work, but in the road to recovery, is when you were wrong about something, you need to promptly admit it and get it right. And if you do and nobody can find fault in you, then we're going to read on and see how he was used here. It says, for so much as he was faithful, neither was there any error nor fault found in him. Verse 5 says, then said these men, we should not find any occasion against Daniel, this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whatsoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign and written that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Now, they're trying to convince this man to make a law saying that nobody, no god, nothing could be worshipped or praised for 30 days but you. They did this because they couldn't find any fault in him. Amen. You know, his only fault in their mind was, and they thought it was a fault. They think they got this man good night. They think they got it. They think that war is won. The only fault they found was is he was not going to back down from anybody, that he was going to stay faithful to his God. Amen. And what he was going to do is he was going to not allow his fear to outweigh his faith. Amen. Right? He thought, like most of us should, no matter what. No matter what. We're just going to do it no matter what. That's the way it's got to be. You have to get your mind set and wrapped around that thing. No matter what. We're going to do it no matter what. And it says in verse 9, it says, wherefore King Darius signed the written writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went over to the house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning this decree and so on and so forth. So we know that what they did is they got Daniel in trouble. And I'm sorry, I'm speeding up a little bit for time's sake because I got one more place I want to show you guys something in. So we know here, again, familiar scripture, so I'm hoping I'm not losing anybody. What's happening is he did not listen to this degree. He didn't care. He's like, well, the law is the law, whatever. But I still got to do what I got to do for God. Amen. You know what this reminds me of? It should remind you of something, too. If you get to a place where somebody says, you can't do that here. You can stay in this hotel, but you ain't bringing them people in that book in here. Is there anything different? No, that's the hotel's rules, policies. So are you going to listen? Are you going to go find another hotel? Or are you going to listen to them and leave your book in the car? You know what happens is you get scared and you say, well, I'm not going to go find another hotel. So I'm like, no, I tell them, look, this is my right as an American to carry that book. Amen. And I'm going to carry that book. So I'm either going to stay in this hotel with that book or I'll find another hotel. Amen. It's just that simple. I sleep in my car first before I leave that book. It's the same thing. What Daniel said is, I sleep in my car first before I stop praying to God. Now, he's got to face something more than a car, so that just going to show you how soft we are as Americans. Because the first thing I thought about is how bad it would be to sleep in a car, right? That's the first thing popped my mind, man. It's going to be bad tonight going to sleep in this car. This brother's Gary faced a den of lions. And hey, it says den, but if you've read the book, do you know what that really is? It's not a den. It's like a pit. That's what it's like. It's not, hey, we're going to walk into this nice den and there's pictures on the wall and rug. I mean, you know, when I think of den, I don't think of a den that bad. I think of something I can run right out of or fight. No, man, this thing's like a pit. Like you're going down to get down in there and there's no way back up without help. And then not only they did that, but then they sealed this thing. They said, brother, you ain't getting out now. And the king stamped it and said, don't you dare move this rock. Then what trips you out is if you read the story, the king cared so much about him, he went home. They start praying for him. Oh, man, what I done did now. He cared about Daniel. But you know what it was? Just like a king who's supposed to be at a certain level, you know what he did? He went with the flow.
That's right.
He went with what the world wanted him to do.
Right.
He allowed them people to persuade him when Daniel said, ain't going to happen on my end. Why? Because Daniel said, we got to be different. We have got to stand a set aside from them. We can't act like them. We can't even think like them. And if we find ourselves in a position where we do, what we do is we have to get away from them and get close to God and regroup. Right? In the story, it goes on to where he prays for them. Didn't get much rest. Runs out there first thing in the morning. He even yells in there, Daniel, are you still alive? Or did your God save you from them lions? And when he found out, you know what he said? He praised Daniel's God. Because they're lions. There's no way they wouldn't have ripped into shreds. People say, well, maybe they weren't hungry. Well, you know what happens in the story? You all do know, right? Yeah. They took the people who told on them and their family and threw them in there. And what happened to them? They got ate up, didn't they? That's what they did. Before they even hit the floor, brother, they were munching down. So either Daniel stunk to high heaven and they didn't want none of Daniel. You know, he's skinny, this guy. They didn't know another meal was coming.
That's right.
Bible says the angels stood there with him.
Yep.
You know what's going to happen? Yeah, you guys got to excuse me. That's why I don't get to preach a lot, because I'm rough around the edges. But what happened is 5 years dealing with the world I deal with. You guys got to forgive me. I don't get out much. So... Yeah, except for the restaurants, buddy. Woo, hallelujah. Thank God for a restaurant. I love America. What happens is that Daniel, he kept his faith, and what he did is he faced the lion. Here's the thing. As Christians, you're going to face the lion. You're going to face it. You know, there's sometimes, and I'm not saying this just because woe is me, because I can't stand people who do that all the time. Every once in a while I can, and that's allowed, I think this. But all the time people do that, woe is me. And it's like, hey, man, you're going to face the lion as a Christian.
Amen.
You're going to face it. But if you have enough faith that will outweigh your fear, the angel of God will come upon you. You're going to have help. That much I promise you. I know my God. I know his power. I know his strength. And I know what a little bit of faith will do.
Amen.
A little bit of blind faith. And you know what happens is God going to protect you from the lion. God's going to protect you from the lion. If you can find yourself in a position where you have enough faith that will outweigh the fear of what this world is trying to bog you down with. What's going to happen is God delivers you from your problems. I don't care how big they were. What did he do with Goliath? Had a pretty big problem. You know what David said? When they said, man, we see this big old guy down there, there ain't no way we could hit him. You know what David said? There ain't no way I can miss him. I don't understand what you're thinking. That's what the difference in thought process is. David said, you don't know what you're thinking. Same thing with Daniel. Daniel said, it is what it is. Do you think that it would have bothered Daniel one bit had he been attacked by that lion? You think that when he was down there, he would have changed his mind? No, because you're missing the point of the story. It wasn't about whether he survived the attack from the lion or not. It was the fact that he stood for God and stayed faithful, and he had no fear of what this world was going to do to him. That's what the difference is, and it was the same thing with David and Goliath. It wasn't about win or lose to him. It was about staying faithful to God and not having enough fear that he was going to fall back, right? He wasn't going to waver. He wasn't going to change his mind at the last minute. He made the decision a long time ago. This is the God we serve, and this is how we serve him. And I'm not going to waver just because what the world says or how they think. That's what it was. It wasn't the fact of win or lose. It wasn't the fact of survive or get eaten. It was the fact that we need to take the stand and take it now. Amen. We weren't going to let our fear outweigh our faith, right? That's what it was. I'm going to go to one more place, and I think I got like 5 minutes here, so I'm doing all right. If you go the book of Mark, one of my favorite books. I love that book. And if I bore you, it's Josh's fault, man. I told that brother I wasn't going to be able to do it tonight. I'm sweating from the food. You're good. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll go to chapter 5. And this bit of scripture here is really exciting. All right? And I use a lot of this scripture here in the program. Why? Because this scripture is some of the first scripture I got my hands on. And if you guys didn't know me, man, I was a drunkard. And the world had its grips in me, and not only was I a drunkard, but I was a drug addict, for real. Yeah. That's the truth. Am I lying? Terrible way. I was in a bad way. And this scripture showed me something. It gave me some hope. Amen. It did. And it gave me enough to where I wanted more from the book. Amen. Right? And when you get saved, I think, you know, read the Gospels for what they are. Yeah. That's what they are, man. They're what our life should be now. It's the hope and glory in Jesus Christ. It's our faith, right? Amen. And that's what it is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. Good night, man. That saved me from the miry clay. Amen. You know what? His blood saved me from jail. Amen. His blood saved me from divorce. Amen. His blood saved me from death. That's what it saved me for. His blood saved me from, and these scriptures, it talks about when Jesus was here. You know what? Jesus didn't want us to read these and think, man, wow, it's like a magician, the show that we could have went to if we were just seeing what he did. No, what he wanted you to see is that there is no hope here in mankind. Amen. You're going to put your faith and trust on them. What he wants you to do is he wants you to have some blind faith. Pastor was talking about it earlier today, right? It's talking about Abraham laid his son down. You know why? We said it before. I said it, and I say it again. He believed in a resurrection before there was one. You know there is one. Yep. But yet our faith wavers all the time. Yep. Right? Amen. You get a hold of these things that make you so scared. And once you get that fear inside of you, you don't want to do anything about it. Right? Amen. And you know what happens? The more that the fear grows, the smaller your faith gets. Right. And then the world's got you. Then it's got you saying, maybe there wasn't. Maybe it's not true, Josh. Yeah. Maybe what you believe is wrong. And you ain't read the book. Because if you read this thing, you'd be able to stand boldly and say there's no way.
That's right,
it's not the truth. That is impossible.
Amen.
That's what I believe. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Chapter 5. And let's start in 21. So we're talking about some things that Jesus is doing here. And at this time period, people are starting to catch wind about what the Lord's doing, right? The Lord, you know, He waited until a certain time, and when it was right, what he did is he started his ministry. And not only did he start his ministry, but he wanted to do these things for hope, to know that in the resurrection, in the new body, in the glory of God, in the kingdom, things will be different. Amen. Things will be different. And what happens is we get so wound up tight about, and it's rough, don't get me wrong, man, but we get about death, about cancer, about people dying, heart disease. Oh, man, we're ate up over it. Tears us up. How do I know that to be true? Because of what happened to me last year. It almost took me down. Amen. Tore me up. And I lost two very important people to me. So I know that it's real. How weak the flesh is and how we allow these things to get in our mind and create this. So what the Lord wanted to do is the Lord wanted to show us something in this scripture. And this scripture helped me through this last Amen. Summer. When I read through it is that this stuff is done in the flesh and in the world. And most of the time, the devil's got his hands so far wrapped around this stuff, has nothing to do with God. And Jesus is proof of that. Because if it was of God, do you think Jesus would be able to unwind some of that stuff? Or why would he, right? So we know it had nothing to do with God. The leprosy, do you think that's something that God did? Do you? This world is going to get worse and worse and worse. And you know what did it? We did it. And I believe that. Amen. I believe we did it. We created it.
Sure. Yeah.
And we make it worse and worse and worse. And I believe God allows things.
That's right.
Right? He has to. So in this part of Scripture, the Lord was going back and forth trying to teach people things by showing them some miracles. Verse 21 says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship on the other side, much people gathered to him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth upon point of death. I pray thee, come lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And what this means is that they gathered around him so tight, there was nothing you could do about it. It was so hard to get through this crowd or even have him hear you. It's almost like what they do in Hollywood. All these idiots follow these stars.
Yeah.
I think it's insane. I just can't fathom the idea of following it. But anyway, I love me, and I think that I'm a superstar. But there ain't nobody following me. So why in the world would I want to follow somebody else? But anyway, they do, and that's what they were doing to the Lord. So the Lord was doing some things, and he had to go from seaside to seaside on a ship. Why? Because he had to preach to them from there and try to teach them, and that the crowds were getting so tight, they were bogging him down, that he couldn't get his point across.
That's right.
And he couldn't get the word out, right? So what he had to do is he used the ship as a podium, or so to speak. So he's getting off the ship after he's gone side to side. Now he's getting off, and he's trying to go to this little girl, and the crowd has just poof, got him. So we know what thronged is, right? Did I explain that pretty good? And it says that it had thronged him, verse 25, and it says, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." Now, this woman was dealing with something for 12 years, right? It says here, "and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." Now, I don't know how good the doctors were back then. I can only imagine. But it said that she spent everything she had. Yeah. And there's times you're going to do that here.
Amen.
You're going to have something going on with you, and you're going to seek man to help you. Now, hey, I'm not the one to say if you're not sick, go to the doctor. I know I go to the doctor. If something feeling bad, I say, oh, take me to the doctor. I'm not feeling right. Yeah. That's what you do. Yeah. Common sense tell you to do that. If you don't do that, I think you're stupid.
Yeah.
You should do that. But I don't think you should spend all your money
Amen.
On something that's just not going to be reversed. I already told my wife, if it gets to a point where I know that I'm just going to accept what the Lord's will is. You know, some people, I've had many family members go down a road of battling cancer. And when they found out, they were okay. They were living life. And then they spent everything they had, and they sold their house and everything else for the ultimate goal of doing what God's will was probably going to be in the beginning, was just, this is your time.
Amen.
The flesh is weak, and this is what happened. And I'm not going to do that. So anyway, that was my prologue. That's what I'm, so.
Amen.
It says, and they suffered many things, and physicians had spent all they had. See, she spent everything she had. And nothing was better, rather grew worse. It went worse. It said, when she had heard of Jesus, come in and press behind and touch his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.
Amen.
Man, there's some faith there. There's a thought process there, right? If I should touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself, he felt this all. Now, see, he didn't watch her come down there. There was too many people. Verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Every time you read in there that Jesus performed a miracle, what does the Lord say made the miracle possible? Your faith has made you whole. Jesus was walking through this crowd, had no idea who was even trying to get to him. Her faith was so strong in the will of God, God's will in her life. She believed that so much. And then when she felt healed, he felt virtue leave. He knew right away something just happened. Now, what if we could just stop worrying about what people thought?
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Get honest with God. Now, you don't think the people didn't want her to, you know, oh, man, we know that she's got something.
Yeah.
12 years this woman's been, hey, we don't know what it is. She needs to stay. But she didn't care what they thought.
Amen.
You know what she was worried about? I believe the only thing she was worried about is that if I could just get close enough to God to touch him.
Amen.
If I could just get to the point where I not worry about the crowd or what they got to say, and the only thing that I get focused on is the Lord.
Amen.
And what his power can do in my life. That's what I believe.
Amen.
That's what I believe. The only thing in her mind was, I just need to get to Jesus. I need to get to Jesus. I need to have enough faith and not fear with this crowd. How many in here believe that that crowd had never dealt with her before? Because I'm going to tell you, if you read the stories back then, they knew who had leprosy. They knew who was dealing with stuff. They knew who was wicked and hiding in the cemetery. They knew.
Yeah, through Facebook.
That's right. It was through Facebook. Hallelujah. They were chiseled in stone and thrown in the air. See who caught it.
Amen.
That was their tweet. Smack them right in the head with it. Tweet that. Hallelujah. Right?
Amen.
Hey, I bet you they dealt with her in some wicked ways.
Amen.
Yep.
I guarantee it.
Yep.
I guarantee you that she didn't get invited to many meals.
Because yeah.
Back then, again, their physicians probably weren't that great. So when they knew she had something, would you invite her over? There's times you wouldn't invite somebody over if they didn't have something. Let's be real about it. So imagine what these people did and how the crowd acted. And I'm sorry, I'm Gary Reffin. Imagine that. You know what she said? I don't care about that. She got out of her own way for a minute and got to the feet of Jesus and just believed strong enough that the clothes, his garment, the hem of his garment, if she could just reach in there and grab that hem, if she had enough faith in her heart that grabbing that hem would make me whole. That's all I need is Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you, friend, that's all you need.
Amen.
That's all you need. All you need is to have enough guts to push through the crowd, not worry about what they say, worry about what they think about you, and get on down here and get to the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And them problems, them big giants you're facing, you ain't going to look at them as you can't knock them down. You know what you're going to look at them as? I can't miss.
Amen.
That's what you're going to see. And when you face the lion, you're not going to worry about it devouring you.
Amen.
It's not going to matter. It's the Lord's will. It's in his hands. You couldn't control it if you wanted to.
Amen.
We all think we got the control. You ain't got the control.
Amen.
You ain't.
That's right.
Mom.
Amen, brother.
If you just get to the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. God, Lord, just, Lord, allow this little teaching here, God, to not go away without having some thought process put into it, Lord, that God, that you know my heart, that I just want to do right for my church, God, and that I believe, Lord, that you wanted me to preach and teach on this, Lord God, that, Lord, I know you could use it, God, and I know that I'm just an ignorant human being, God, and I know that, Lord, you have given me the opportunity to do something here, God, and I hope that I don't destroy it for you, Lord, and, Lord, I just